Hey everybody, thank you for tuning into the first ever episode of The Artist Block. A one-stop shop for anything art. We'll be talking about a lot of different things on here. Current events, contests, and competitions for artists. Current events as far as new technology in the art world. Techniques, tips and tricks for artists to help them through everyday life. Just a whole bunch of different things to make your life as an artist a little more enjoyable. It's something that's like a real passion project for me. Me being an artist, me being doing photography, dance, painting, and acting and filmmaking for about majority of my life now. I just really feel like this is something that's needed in the art world. It might be a lot of other people who do it, but I'm going to be doing it just slightly different, giving them a little bit of the Devontae swag. For those who don't know me, my name is Devontae Swinson. I'm a photographer and filmmaker who started with dance. I've been doing photography for about 13 years, videography for about 7, and I'm just here to help those who need help, newbies, pros who might miss something or anything. So if there's something you want discussed on this podcast, just let me know. I'll be sure to get to it. Today's episode is going to be something that I think everybody needs. We're going to be talking about tips and tricks on how to get over a creative's block or writer's block, if you will, and just make the best creative content that you can with the time that you're given in a day. So, yeah, stay tuned and we're going to get to it. So before we get into the actual podcast and talk about the topic of creator's block, I wanted to give out a few opportunities to enter contests. These aren't my contests. These are contests that I found. I thought it'd be pretty cool for artists who might possibly listen to this podcast with before their deadlines. So first one we're going to talk about is Claymakers. It's a competition that's in Durham. Apply to be a new exhibitor at Claymakers rolling application. They don't have a deadline, it seems like, and you can apply at www.claymakers.org to see all the qualifications and what you have to do and all those things. I think it'd be pretty cool if anybody out there works with clay or pottery of some sort. Definitely give it a look. Again, that's www.claymakers.org. The next one we're going to talk about is Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation. It's in Baltimore, but I'm pretty sure that's something you can send in. I haven't really done all the research, but I found it and I've seen it and I think it's pretty cool. It's a call for submissions, film submissions for on-screen in-person program. This program is designed to bring independent film and communities together by matchmaking American filmmakers with presenters from across the Mid-Atlantic region. And the deadline for that one is December the 7th. So if you have something that you've already worked on or you have that should be done by then, definitely be a good look for you. Especially if you're doing film, it would be definitely probably a good look for you. Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation is pretty big and they do a lot of stuff all over the East Coast. So you can go to www.midatlanticarts.org. And that's www.midatlanticarts.org. And then we have another film one that ends March 1st, 2019. So that's plenty of time to get something in. It's being held by North Carolina Museum of History in Raleigh. The NC Museum of History in Raleigh is officially accepting entries for the 5th Annual Longleaf Film Festival Cash and Non-Cash Awards. And that you enter for that, it'll be www.longleaffilmfestival.com. I think I might be entering that one myself. It seems like it might be pretty cool. Let's see what else we have here. I wrote a couple things down. Some of them are no longer applicable. So let me see. Where is it? I cannot find it. Oh my gosh, I wrote too much stuff down. Okay. If you're a storyteller and you are you like to write, the Lit Mag is seeking fiction, nonfiction, and poetry for publication, cash awards with a rolling deadline. So it reboots every so often. You can go and apply at litmag.submittable.com/submit. So submit your pieces, your art, your literary art pieces, and that should probably be something good. For right now, that's all I have, and I think those would be some good opportunities for a lot of people who have those talents. As things come open, I'll talk about them on the podcast regularly. If you or someone you know is holding a competition or having some event that you want talked about on the podcast so it can get a little more exposure, be sure to let me know. Send me a Facebook message or Twitter or something like that, and I'll be giving out all that information at the end of the podcast. Thank you so much. Now let's get into my 5 tips on how to overcome writer's block, or creator's block in this case. Okay, so now down to the nitty gritty of the whole thing that we're about to be doing. Today's topic is how to manage creative block, or how most people know a writer's block. And just have 5 tips that I think will help a lot of people out. They help me out tremendously when I'm having a mind fart or creative block or whatever you want to call it. I know for a fact these tips have helped me out. And I just think they'd be helpful to other people. So, tip number 1, switch to another project. I know it sounds like kind of counterproductive to go hop from one project to another, but in the long run, it kind of helps with the big picture of things. So for me, I feel like it gives your mind a break from the issue that you're having. And when you come back to the project that you're working on, you have fresh eyes, open mind, because you've been working on something else. And it might slow you down in the beginning, but it actually helps you pick up pace for other projects. So as soon as you come to a point where you're like, okay, well, I know I need this done, but I don't know how to do it, or there's a brushstroke technique that you're messing up on or something. I don't know. I'm not a painter. I just do it as a hobby. But as far as video work, if there's a segment in a video that I'm having a tough time with, like the audio is not matching up or the transition looks iffy, I just go to a different segment in the video, or I go to a totally different video altogether. And that helps me in the long run because I'm getting something else done while thinking about what I need to do for the other thing. And it just keeps your progress going constantly. It keeps the flow going, the mojo going, and your creative juices going. And it helps you tremendously, trust me. So that's tip number 1, switch to a different project. Tip number 2, set mini goals inside of the project that you're working on. So for me, I do film work. Not amazing film work, but I do film work. So if I'm in the process of writing a script, rather than just go and try to plow through everything at once, I'll set mini goals. So, for example, if I'm writing a script and it's 4 scenes, I'll plan out the plot for the whole script. Then I'll go and plan out the character roles, character arcs, how I feel that person is going to be the antagonist, protagonist, their role in the screenplay or whatever. plan out locations, settings, etc. All these things help with building a better script, because if I know one thing is happening at a certain place, it helps me with writing the script. If I know this character is going to act a certain way, I want them to act a certain way. I say they have a mental disability or something, and I know that I want them to do certain things. It helps with building that character. So, and also at the same time, it helps you feel like you've accomplished something. When you have a checklist of many goals versus, oh, this is what the goal is, write the script. When you have a checklist of many goals, even though these are all things most people do, when you have a list of goals that you have to accomplish, and you have maybe 10 out of the 12 things on that list accomplished, it makes you feel like you're getting more stuff done, which makes you more encouraged and more ready to get things going and make moves that are beneficial to that project. So that was tip number two. Set many goals for yourself. Now, tip number three. Most people, I don't think they would understand it. They'll think it's kind of, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. They would think it's kind of counterproductive again. But it's more along the lines of about breaking the monotony of doing something constantly in one area. For tip number three, I say it's work somewhere different. Working in the same place constantly can be a hindrance on certain people. Like, if I'm constantly working in a studio, I'm always in the studio, I get tired, I get bored, and end up start lollygagging or just a whole bunch of things that will, like, take my mind off of what I'm actually supposed to be doing. It'll stop your focus. And for a lot of people, without even realizing it, they'll get behind schedule on something and it'll mess them up, like, super bad. So, some examples of this. If you're a painter, you have a studio. Yes, you love your studio, I know. Everyone loves where they work at. But, artist-wise, not too many people love their jobs. But get out of the studios a couple of days out the week. Maybe go to a park, paint something there, do life drawings of people there, or just random things to keep your creative juices flowing, but at the same time, get yourself away from what's causing you to be in that funk. For a photographer, if you're always taking portraits of people, maybe go out and do some landscape photography or some long exposure photography or something that's totally different from what you're already doing to give your mind a different view or aspect. Because for the longest, I would take pictures of people, of families, of paternity pictures, maternity pictures, I'm sorry. All these things, all these different portraits. But then I would take long exposure pictures, and it would give me ideas for what I could do in portraits. And it was, for a lot of people, they wouldn't make that connection. But once you actually go out and achieve something or do something in a different field, it gives you ideas and inspirations for what you can do and what your major medium is. So it just brings new experiences to the table, and it makes it a lot easier for you to come up with ideas that people aren't doing yet. Different things that are pretty much something that you wouldn't think of right off the back of your head. So that's tip number three. Work somewhere different or do something different. Tip number four. Do something outside of your comfort zone. Now, this one might be a little iffy for certain people, because I know first time I did it was like, I don't know if I want to do this. It's kind of nerve-wracking, but it's definitely a help, because in hindsight, it makes you feel like, well, if I could do this thing I thought was impossible, what's giving me this issue right now should be nothing. And it'll just make things snap into place. Like for me, I'm an introvert. I would go to crowded places and just start conversations with random people. Sounds a little creepy, I know, but it wasn't like stalkerish. It would be more like I'm waiting in line at bank and a person standing there waiting too, and we just spark up a conversation. Now, so somebody who's not me, who's not definitely shy and an introvert, that might sound like, dude, I do that all the time. But for me, that was something that I was had a difficult time with, that put me outside of my comfort zone. Or if you're a person who's afraid of heights, go stand at the top of a bridge, not like on the beams or anything, but on a bridge. I don't know, go on a roller coaster. These are all things that give your mind that jolt of going outside of the norm, and it brings you back to your center with a different viewpoint, a different perspective, and it helps with all of these things. It makes the ideas flow even quicker, and is very beneficial. So that's tip number four. Tip number four, do something outside of your comfort zone. So now tip number five, it kind of seems like obvious that you should do this, but a lot of times people do it without realizing it. And it actually blocks, you actually end up blocking yourself without even realizing you're doing it. So for tip number five, I would say focus on the task at hand. Like sometimes we get so caught up in Facebook and social media, or one of our favorite YouTubers might have dropped a new video and we're like, oh, I gotta go watch it. But those things will, without even realizing it, send you on a tangent to go and watch more videos or do more social media or things like that. And I'm not saying social media is bad, because it's great for businesses and it's great for marketing your business. I'm not saying YouTube is bad, because YouTube, you can learn a lot of stuff up there. But when you have a task at hand, you have to understand that focusing on that one thing will help you to move the tides along. I suggest putting your phone on airplane mode or do not disturb. Turning off TVs, radios, podcasts, or anything to get you back in the mood. Like something. Now, sometimes I do listen to music while I'm doing something, as far as like editing or painting or drawing or doing something as far as my graphic designs for a client. But when I feel like I'm getting stuck, I turn all that stuff off instantly. It has to go off, because I feel like if that's an issue, I need to make sure I'm handling the issue correctly. So turn off all hindrances, all things that could possibly deter you from what you're doing. And it's very beneficial. You'll get a lot of stuff done a lot faster without even realizing. And I know I said five tips, but I want to throw in a little bonus tip today. Simple. A lot of people wouldn't think about it, but just take a walk. Go out, get the blood flowing, get your heart rate up a little bit. Go take a walk. That walk can you'll see something that inspires you for whatever you're doing. Just walk around your neighborhood, or walk around, go to a track and walk around, and just clear your mind, empty your mind from all the thoughts and things that have been bothering you all day long and getting you out of your funk. Like, just go for a walk, enjoy the earth that we have. Take a minute and smell the roses, you know. A lot of times people have writer's or creative block, and it could be something that simple as they don't even know the reason why they have it. But I feel like for most people, it comes from one of two things: fear that whatever you're doing will not be accepted by people, which I know I have that issue for a while with my stuff, like videos I would put together or or songs or things of that nature that I would put together, or poetry that I would put together, I would get a feeling of fear or rejection that I was like, okay, well, no one's gonna like this. I like it, but no one else is gonna like it. And I had to get to the point where I figured you had to understand that, yes, a lot of people are gonna like your stuff, but in the long run, there's gonna be somebody out there who likes it. There's gonna be somebody who out there who wants to see what you do. There's gonna be somebody out there who appreciates what you do. So it will be super beneficial for you to post and all your content, anything you can. Now, if it's for a client, that's understandable. Don't post it, but give it to that client. Make sure you are putting yourself out there, because if you don't put yourself out there, how are people going to know who you are, and how are you ever going to get better? If you're constantly doing the same thing but not putting it out, you can't really say, oh, well, no one likes it. How do you know if anybody doesn't like it? Because you have to put it out there to see what happens with it. Pictures, paintings, videos, choreography for dancers, tons of things that need to be put out, that you have to constantly put yourself out there, because you can't get any better without criticism, and you can't get any better by hiding yourself. So that's one thing. And another thing I feel like people do that is not so much of a hindrance, but it takes up a lot of time, is trying to be perfect. As a person, no one's perfect. And I had to come along about that the hard way as well. I was working on a project for a rapper, and I was working on it. And I was just constantly down and like, no, this isn't right. But as time went on, the project was, I want to say that video should have taken me maybe a week to do at the most. I could have gotten it done in 2 to 3 days, honestly. But I ended up taking about 2.5 weeks to get it done. Not because I had any issues or I couldn't do the work. It's because I wanted everything to be spot on perfect. Now, mind you, this may be my first or second video I've ever done. It wasn't the fact of the matter that I couldn't do it. It wasn't the fact of the matter that it was something wrong with my video or the footage or the software that I was using. It was the fact that I wanted to over perfect everything. And even with the issues that I still felt were wrong with the video, the client loved it. They were like ecstatic, like, oh my gosh, this looks so amazing. This looks spectacular. You have to understand that perfection is something that is in our heads. When we put out something, I know for a fact there are things in movies that are like Hollywood level movies that are mistakes, but they flow so well, you don't even realize it's a problem. You only realize it's an issue. So it's not always about perfection. It's more about authenticity. It's more about being authentic. And I feel like that's something as artists we need to veer more towards. Not being so perfect all the time, or trying to be perfect all the time, but being authentic, being real, being genuine. And I think that'll help a lot of people out with not only creator's block, but making better content for their brands and for their art. But I feel like that's all I have to say for now about this topic. We might revisit it later if I come up with any more tips. But yeah, I think that's it. And oh, but I will be coming back with a couple of announcements, and artist showcase is up next. So I think today we're only going to do two brands, and the rest, and then as time goes on, we'll be talking to more brands, or possibly getting more brands on. This is just something I want to do to give people a spotlight. Being that I don't have a super huge platform now, but I have a platform that I'm building. And as time goes on, it'll get bigger. And those people who listen, if you know someone who might, that you feel is a talented artist or a talented at what they do, or they have a brand or a company that you want to be spotlighted for something that they're doing that's amazing, just reach out to me. I'll be leaving all that stuff at the end of the podcast. So yeah, let's get to the artist spotlight. So today on the artist spotlight, we'll be talking about an amazing company with an amazing cause, and that company is No Love Lost Incorporated. I did say in the beginning this was going to be mostly artists, but the reason I'm spotlighting this company is because of the project that they have coming up. They're doing a toy drive specifically for kids with MPS, which is a disease that, as of right now, there are a lot of things that are, I don't want to say like unknown about it, but that I don't know about it. So, but I do know as far as what the disease is, it's kind of things that we take for granted every day, walking or talking or eating on your own and drinking on your own, all these things that we take for granted, is causing these people with MPS to forget how to do it. And that's in the best way that I can explain it. There are people who have way better understanding of this, but I personally know a couple of people with MPS, or have known a couple of people with MPS. I know people who have had family members with MPS. So this is a cause that I can get behind as well. That's why my company, Hungry Hustle Clothing, is going to be also part of this toy drive. But that's the main cause for this toy drive. And No Love Lost Incorporated is heading this whole thing up. My company is just there as a support group. Not support group, but as support to help with anything that they need help with. So what they're doing is they're gathering toys, nothing too small and nothing too big, because all these things are getting mailed out. But they're gathering toys for these families with kids with MPS, because their doctor bills are ridiculous. And even though these kids do have a disease, a debilitating disease, they still deserve a Christmas. So that's what our cause is, and his cause is. Basically, we're looking to get any gifts that can be given. Also, they're also taking gift certificates, money gift certificates to help the kids. It's definitely a worthy cause. If you would like to know more about it, you can check my website. My Facebook page at Hungry Hustle Clothing on Facebook, as well as his Facebook page, No Love Lost Inc. That's on Facebook. And I'll be posting a few more things coming soon on my Instagram and on my actual Facebook page. So, for those who would like to help or donate to the cause, just hit me up. Give me maybe send me a direct message, or possibly call, and we can make something happen. We will only be accepting donations until the 15th, because I think that's the last day we can ship out everything. So, if you feel like this is a cause you want to be a part of or want to help with, just let me know. I'll get in touch with him, and we can make something happen. And again, that's the Artist Spotlight, is for No Love Lost Inc. If you want to go buy something from his brand, you will have to go to www.nolovelostinc.bigcartel.com. And I feel like their cause that they have going on is something that's really needed, because not a lot of people know about this disease, and it needs to be put out there a lot more. Like, everyone knows about, like, all the other ones, but this is something that's really, really affecting a lot of kids, and I think it would be really helpful to help those kids out this Christmas season. So, yeah, if you want to donate, contact me. If not, I wish you all nothing but the best. So, if you want to be one of the next people on the Artist Spotlight, just send me your information, maybe like a short bio on who you are, and we'll try to spotlight you as soon as possible. Most of these are going to be people that I pick, and I know their artistic background already. But at the same time, I'm always looking for new talent to showcase and give a spotlight. So if I look you up and I like what you have going on, you'll definitely be on the showcase. So, again, this has been the Artist Block. Tune back in next week. Well, we'll be talking about a couple other things, a couple of events that are coming up, as well as, hold on, let me find it, because I lost it. We're going to be talking about understanding yourself as an artist. So, well, it's one of those things that a lot of people, they see, but I don't want to get into it right now. So, come back next week and listen to what we got to say about that. It's been the Artist Block. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day. If you don't listen by Christmas, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And see you later.